AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction.
Just to keep it interesting, wheat futures start off the day sharply lower, with corn and soybeans just sort of pacing nervously in the wings. The good news is U.S. crude has fallen all the way down to the 117 area. But all of this could just be a temporary setback, coiling the spring for another wild ride. Live from the Report Day run-up via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk This Morning. We begin with a conversation with Ben Brown from the University of Missouri. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Bob Bertzel and April Hemmes. Chip is on the road today. I'm happy to step in behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. Happy isn't even the word for it. I'm ecstatic. I'm over the moon. I'm super psyched. It's me, your pal, Davis Michelson. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Of course, as has been the case over the last, call it 8-ish years, there's plenty to talk about on this morning's show. We've got Bob Bertzel, Farmer Bob Northwest Mo, a card-carrying member of the AgriTalk Peanut Gallery. I can't wait to talk to Bob. It's been far too long since he and I have spoken. He's got some stuff going on. He was able to break away from some sort of a peer group meeting, as I understand. I don't know. It's all very hush-hush and secretive. We're going to see if he can spill his guts just a little bit. Bob's always got great insights. And then we've got a new voice, April Hemmes, from right here in the great state of Iowa, the tall corn state. In my notes here, I have that she's been to Russia, to Ukraine. She may have some unique insights for us. I'm anxious to get to know her just a little bit, and for you two as well. So it'll be Bob Bertzel and April Hemmes coming up in the Farmer Forum. We've got Ben Brown from the University of Missouri. We're going to talk a little bit of Report Day run-up. We're just going to see what Ben Brown has on his mind. Super smart dude. So it's going to be great. And of course, Chip is on the road. We'll get some details on the next couple of days of coverage here on AgriTalk in just a moment. But before we do that, let me get to this morning's news, where tit for tat sanctions continue relative to Russia, with the latest being a U.S. executive order banning fresh energy purchases from Russia, and a 45-day winding down period for existing contracts. Quote, Russian oil will no longer be accepted at U.S. ports, President Biden said in a speech from the White House. He continued, quote, we will not be part of subsidizing Putin's war. Now, meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin countered by announcing some bans of his own. And Brian Grady put it very succinctly yesterday and made the picture pretty clear. It's almost sort of a situation where President Putin is saying, you can't fire me, I quit. Now, his export bans of certain commodities, certain products to certain nations, apparently goes through clear at the end of this year. So it almost feels like he's taking the U.S. ban on purchases of Russian petroleum products and just taking it one step further. I think tit for tat is the right way to look at it here. Well, the U.S. today will unveil President Joe Biden's cryptocurrency executive order, which directs federal agencies to produce a series of reports over the coming months that will lay out the future of U.S. policy toward digital assets, including the possible launch of a federally issued digital dollar. And I bring this up because, you know, number one, it's sort of been in the headlines over the last few days, and it does seem like an idea that's gaining momentum here in the United States. There's a lot about cryptocurrency that we here on AgriTalk, just to be quite honest, just don't understand. It's sort of outside of our lane, but I feel like the more we talk about it, the more we report on it, the more we learn about it, the more we'll be able to share with you. And well, you know what? We'll learn together. You know, we'll turn learning into a group activity. It's going to be great. But cryptocurrency, I guarantee we're going to be hearing more about it. Well, prices for highway diesel fuel across the U.S. jumped to $4.84 per gallon the past week. That's the highest level on record. The increase of nearly 75 cents per gallon from the week before came as crude prices on global markets touched $140 per barrel on Monday, reaching levels unseen since before the 2008 financial crisis. The Wall Street Journal reports the rising prices will add to the continuing pressure on shipping costs as truckers seek to pass on expenses in a cycle likely to help fuel consumer inflation. This is not what we need right now. The de facto leaders of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates both declined U.S. requests to speak to President Biden in recent weeks as the administration was working to build international support for Ukraine and contain a surge in oil prices. Meanwhile, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro spoke positively of talks with the United States about the prospects of his country providing oil to ease the strain on American consumers. I have so many thoughts on the Maduro regime and what they might do with that fresh influx of oil money, but no time for that now. Beijing has told China's state refiners to pause exports of gasoline and diesel in April as the war between Russia and Ukraine sparks supply concerns. Meanwhile, China will keep coal output at record levels of more than 12 million metric tons per day and speed up approvals for new mining projects to ensure sufficient supplies. Looks like self-sufficiency is on at least China's mind. Hog producers who have sold hogs through a spot market sale during the COVID-19 pandemic have until April 15 to submit their applications for USDA's spot market hog pandemic program. And Senator John Boozman, ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee, called on USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack to delay sign-up for the Conservation Reserve Program, that's CRP, because of the war in Ukraine. In a letter to Vilsack, Boozman said landowners need time to decide whether to keep cultivating the land that could otherwise be locked up in the program. So that's that outlines today's news. We'll get more into all of these things and much more with our Farmer Forum. But first, no Margie today. She's got bigger and better things to do, apparently. I want to bring in Big Apple Joe, though, because I'm not much of a details guy. He's our executive producer extraordinaire. Joe, there's a lot coming up. We got Commodity Classic coming up down in New Orleans. Can you just outline what the listeners can expect over the next few days?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hello there, Davis. And hello. Yeah, Margie's got a deadline, so we'll fill the time talking about what we have got coming up with Commodity Classic. Chip and I will be down there in New Orleans. Chip might be there already. I'll be getting there late tonight. Tomorrow, so we're doing a live show with you tomorrow. And so far, we've got Kurt Covington. And that show will run live as usual. In the meantime, about an hour later, Chip and I will record a show for the AM that will be broadcast next week. And we'll have Lance Honig from NASS and JT Krieger from Basecamp Leasing. And we'll be at Pivot Bio's location. That's at booth 1006.
Okay.
And that'll be at about 11:30 a.m. is when we're supposed to start recording. Then in the PM show, we're going to be live at Helena. That's at 2422. We're going to do that live. The PM show will be live from Commodity Classic with Matt Bennett and Brian Doherty. Then we'll do Truterra in the morning. We'll pre-record that show with Kevin McNew and Jeff Cooper. And that'll be at the Truterra again, Truterra at 5338. And then for those at Commodity Classic, don't forget to stop by the Bear booth, number 3438, to learn more about maximizing your farm's performance with DeKalb and Asgrow, because we're going to do an industry spotlight there. And then finally, we'll do a live show with Ted Seifried. Chip and Ted Seifried will have a conversation at Gowan's booth at 4604. So it's going to be a packed schedule, but a lot of fun.
Bro, last time I was in New Orleans with Chip, we went down to this place in the French Quarter, this little restaurant. I'm sure he remembers the spot. Just mention it to him. I know you're a foodie. Have him take you to the French Quarter for dinner. And make sure it's expensive, too. Put it on his tab.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal Davis Michelson here with you. Thank you so much for tuning in to your favorite ag radio station or your preferred digital device to catch up with us today. Appreciate you taking the time. It's going to be worth your while to be here. We've got the Farmer Forum coming up. A good friend of the show, Bob Bertzel, and an enthusiastic supporter of what we're doing over here, you know, for better or worse. We freaking love Bob Bertzel, Farmer Bob Northwest Mo on Twitter, and April Hemis, a new voice for us. Lots to get to, but first, I want to bring in Ben Brown from the University of Missouri. Ben, good morning, sir. How's everything in the great state of Missouri?
Oh, good morning, and thanks for having me. Yeah, things are going really well down here. It's a beautiful day, albeit crisp and cool, but a beautiful day.
Now, there was talk of some potential snow, some wintry weather rolling through. Are you going to miss all of that, or what do you make of it?
Good question. I tell people all the time I do market analysis, and I don't try my luck at weather as well. But I really don't know if we're going to get any or not. But yes, you are correct. We are expected to get some moisture. I will tell you that we will take the moisture. It is dry in certain parts of Missouri, and we could use it.
Do you mean to imply that the markets are more predictable than the weather itself, Ben? Is that what I'm hearing?
Maybe. It is possible.
Well, Ben, we've got you on this morning specifically sort of looking ahead to the reports. But, man, looking at the market action because of the conflict, obviously, over in Ukraine, the markets have just been absolutely nutty. We've seen the CME take some major steps in the wheat market here. As one who watches the markets very carefully, do you feel like just generally this is sort of what one would expect in the futures market when we have a Russia invades Ukraine type of situation?
And a short answer, yes. This is the type of volatility and uncertainty and certainly large swings up and down that we anticipated seeing. The large reduction today in the wheat market, I think is also representative of the fact that we continue to see open interest fall in that category. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, the short squeeze was raising the price for wheat. We've exited out of some of those. And so we're seeing the correction down to match more of the fundamentals. And that's pulling the corn contracts down as well.
There's been, we've speculated just a little bit and even asked the question to some of our experts on the show. How long a conflict like this might last. That question aside, let's just assume it goes on in perpetuity, just for the sake of this discussion. At some point, I feel like the markets sort of need to become exhausted or inevitably will become exhausted with this news, and the headlines are no longer quite as sexy, quite as market moving as they are here at the onset of this conflict. Any sense for if that is in fact the case, and how long it might take for the markets to sort of become a little bit numb to the news?
That's a good way to put that, Davis. It always happens. It always becomes a time. We saw this with COVID too. The markets just disregarded, you know, what was coming out, and we'll see the same thing happen with this, and we'll see the same thing happen for any other major market mover that comes in the future. Eventually, the markets just get immune to it, and that's not a negative. It's more of we learn how to manage around it, and some of the things that were initially unknown become known, and certainly the market moves to it. So specifically to the Russia-Ukraine invasion, right? So the risk that was presented there was that we were going to lose access to all these commodities out of the Black Sea region. Trade was going to completely be shut off. And we just looked and saw how much do they trade out of the region and assumed all of that was gone. What eventually came out of it was, okay, well, some of this has already been shipped. Some of this is going to get picked up in other places because people are going to produce more. Mm-hmm. And we started to adjust to that. probably the next big hurdle is, okay, how long, and to your question, how long does this conflict last? And does it start to have long-ranging impacts? Are we going to have to replace all these crops on an annual basis,
right,
out of that region? And that's the concern. And I think that's where the market's going. Where the market is at today on in wheat is probably actually ballpark accurate to where if we, let's just say we didn't have wheat coming out of Ukraine next year, you know, this is maybe the type of market we'd expect to see in that type of environment. So I don't want people to think that, okay, if we don't have wheat, this market has to double again.
Right.
But we're also assuming that we have a good wheat crop here in the United States. And I think that's probably the next uncertain hurdle that the wheat market has to face as we head through the calendar years. What does our winter wheat crop look like here in places like Kansas, Oklahoma, where it's really dry?
Well, that's a really good thing to bring up as far as that price goes and just what could potentially happen. We've got reports coming out today. I kind of feel like, and typically the March reports aren't, you don't see a whole lot of giant dramatic moves in there typically. Do you have the sense that may be the case again in this round?
So a couple of things I'll just bring up. USDA will maybe make an attempt to account for some of these disruptions in Ukraine and Russia. It probably won't be near as aggressive, or we won't see long-term impacts of this until they get a better idea of what's happening. And that's kind of what USDA has always done. That's not a change. We've seen this when we've had major weather events here in the United States. They're very hesitant to make any major revisions until we get a better idea of what's happening. And I think it's maybe a little bit too early, even though we're 2 weeks into this conflict in Russia and Ukraine, or with Russia and Ukraine, to make adjustments. We might see some small ones, but I don't expect to see major revisions in that category. So the big revisions I expect to see today are all related to South America. USDA last month came out with a revision downward in South America soybean production. But you look at where everybody else is at, you look at where the Brazilian government is themselves, and it just signals that the U.S. will come down today. And the market's expecting a revision down, you know, somewhere between 5 and 6 million metric tons. Do they go further than that? Do they not? Right. So those are the knowns. I think revisions today is we probably will see a revision down in South America soybean production. The unknown and the potential risk and market movers is, does USDA account for that lost demand? In the past, they haven't really accounted for that demand either through higher prices and demand rationing or increase in exports for other alternative suppliers like the United States until well into the calendar year. So I don't think the market is anticipating rather seeing those and could be disappointed for not seeing them, but they also could be very surprised if USDA does make some revisions. Let's say they knock Chinese soybean imports, a couple million metric tons. That could be a bearish factor to the soybean market. Let's say they go ahead and increase U.S. soybean exports, let's say another 300 million bushels or 250 million bushels. That could be a very bullish factor for the market today. And the trade is certainly not expecting those types of revisions because we've traditionally not seen them from USDA when they've made production downward production revisions until later in the calendar year when they're actually starting to see either that demand or lost imports imports from into China. Once they start seeing those play out, that's when they make the revisions. And it's important for people to remember that that's how USDA treats this. They have to see evidence to make those revisions.
I feel like for a long time we saw the South American, the Brazilian, Argentine, even Paraguay got thrown into it for a while. Those crop estimates just coming down and aggressively lower time after time. And USDA, if I'm remembering right, kind of undercut CONAB's numbers in its last report. CONAB has numbers coming out this week too, don't they?
Yes, tomorrow they'll come out. And it was, so they came out last month as well. USDA came out, with their estimate, and then CONAB came out the next day, with a 15 million metric ton revision from their January estimate. So they made a very large adjustment in February. The potential expectation is that they come down as well this month. So we potentially could have a situation here to where USDA currently is maybe 15 million metric tons ahead of where Brazil's government is. And that's why I think many people believe that USDA will come down. Do we think Does the trade expect them to come all the way, 15 million metric tons, all the way down to CONAB's estimates? Probably not. And so USDA will likely be higher. But that's maybe the known part of this is like we feel, and if USDA doesn't revise down, that would be a very, very strong bearish signal to the market today. But I think many people feel they will. The question and the risk, I think, is what do they do on the demand side and what do they do with the product that has to be offset?
Yeah, that's just the trick, isn't it? So what we've just got a few seconds left here. What is the big unknown? What could tip the canoe today in the reports?
Yeah, I would say it's how do they account for any lost production out of South America? Does it show up in the balance sheet to kind of help adjust for those, or will it, like normal, take a few months for that to work out as USDA waits for evidence? Right. That's the big risk for today. Right. I also think the other big thing is what do they do for U.S. Demand? We could see them revise up corn ethanol production because certainly the evidence is there to see higher corn ethanol numbers. But with gas prices where they're at later in the year, we could see softer ethanol demand.
That's a great thought. Ben Brown from University of Missouri, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate your words, brother. We'll be back with the Farmer Forum. You bet. Right after these words on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Dude, we've got to start at the wheats. Some sharp pressure in the wheat market today.
Yes, sir. Heavy losses here, as you mentioned, and being led lower by the winter wheat contracts. Now, SRW futures are trading still within yesterday's huge range. Some of the HRW contracts are trading around yesterday's lows. In spring wheat futures, they aren't seeing as much selling pressure, but they have taken out yesterday's lows. So, a little bit of a varied technical picture there across the wheat complex.
Well, but, you know, speaking of those winter contracts, the May soft red off 80.5, still at 12.06. The May hard red wheats down almost 75 cents currently, still at 11.25. A guy could do a lot worse.
Absolutely. Still historically high prices. We've just backed well off the highs over the past couple days here.
Corn and soybeans, I mentioned in my intro, they're just sort of pacing nervously here. What are your thoughts on the corn and beans?
Well, corn's being influenced by the heavy selling in wheat, so it's under some pressure. Soybeans, they're trading to the upside, as is the rest of the soy complex. Interestingly enough, it's the soy meal market that's leading price gains here mid-morning.
Take us on over to the livestock side. Feeder cattle sort of hovering around unchanged, but slightly lower so far today.
Yeah, so the pressure in the corn market isn't spurring buyer interest in feeder cattle. It is helping to limit losses, but it isn't sparking the buyer interest. And that's largely because live cattle futures are under pressure. Cash cattle traded $2, a little bit more than that, lower so far this week. And then the hog market, strong gains yesterday, but giving back a big chunk of that so far today.
That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Authority Supreme Herbicide from FMC. Learn more at ag.fmc.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. About to kick off the Farmer Forum, which is sponsored by ACAM, America's Conservation Ag Movement, convenes farmers, ag businesses, and the sustainability community around the future of farming by bringing profitable, planet-friendly farming into the mainstream. Partners include Trust in Food, that's a Farm Journal initiative, NCGA, AEM, Ducks Unlimited, and more. For more information, visit agweb.com/ACAM, agweb.com/ACAM. Now that we've paid our bills, let's move on. I want to bring in Bob Burtzel. I can't wait to talk to Bob. Farmer Bob, how's it going, buddy boy?
Oh, going pretty good. Got a nice sunshiny day. Waiting on the 6 inches of snow we're supposed to get tomorrow.
Yeah, you got
be fun calving for a day or two.
So you're predicting 6 inches of snow in your area.
Well, that's what Bam is saying anyway. So last I checked. So.
Well, that sounds like it could get to be a calving rodeo up there, like you said. Just talk about that a little bit. Do you need to vent just a little bit about what that might mean for you?
Well, it might mean a little less sleep than I'm getting used to in my old age. But we've been lucky so far. We've had two little snows. We haven't had any real cold weather to speak of, and we're just starting good. So hopefully the calves, you know, we won't get a whole bunch here the next day or two. So this weekend, it sounds like the weather's supposed to be nice again.
Right, right. Before we get to April, give us a little bit of a picture. You went into wintertime sort of dry, horrible drought, not too bad on the moisture. Where are you sitting?
We're pretty dry. You know, all the ponds, you know, we've had some showers, but we haven't had a running rain. You know, we still got some subsoil moisture, but we're really needing a good running rain to get our stock pond filled up so we have plenty of water to get through the summer. You know, all the ponds are down at least 3 feet, it looks like, from what I've seen.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, Bob, stand by. I want to bring in April Hemmes, a new voice on AgriTalk. April, thank you so much for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm fine, but I feel like I'm in the middle of a bromance here, you know. I had to go behind Bob's back and get the scoop on him because I know people in his peer group. So I've got some scoop on Bob. So
you got to watch those. I know those people in that peer group too. You got to be careful, April.
Yeah, I know. And then now he's whining about 6 inches. I mean, come on. I'm from Northern Iowa. That's another day on the farm up here.
Sure, sure. Well, I feel like we've been pretty lucky in Iowa, though, this year, as far as the ginormous crippling blizzards and such that we've seen in years past.
I agree, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you sort of the same question I asked Bob in your area. You know, we're not doing too bad moisture wise here. I wouldn't mind, you know, a little bit of moisture in some form here.
Come to my farm. No, yeah. I was in that D3 drought all year last year.
Oh boy.
And I'm not that, you know, I'm only 60 miles straight west of you guys. So I had the worst corn crop I've ever had. And I still didn't get crop insurance. So people, you know, when you say when I say my average for the whole farm was 180 and people go, oh, wah. Well, you know, but we have to put a lot more fertilizer. We have to do a lot more with our land. So,
sure.
But anyway, so I am hoping for a very wet spring, as much as I hate cleaning out the gauge wheels on planters in the spring, like everyone else. We need moisture bad to replace that subsoil, because this will be the third year I'm going into a dry spring, and that's not good. So,
well, we've already sort of gotten to know a little bit about you, but April, give us some specifics on who you are. Talk to us about your operation. What are you into? What's your deal?
Sure. What's my deal? Yeah. I'm heading into my 37th year at home on the farm. My gig is I farm. My husband doesn't farm. Doesn't help me on the farm at all. It's my family century farm. We're 120 years in my family this year. And I mean, not a big farm, approximately 1,000 acres, about 900 tillable. So I do it all myself. I would say from banking to beans, it's all me. I used to have a farrow to finish herd and a cow calf herd, but I say I'm semi-retired. I'm just a dirt farmer now. So
just a dirt farmer. I would take issue with that term, but okay, continue, please.
And I went to Iowa State. I have a degree in animal science, and I hear Bobby, which is his given name, by the way, may have gone to Iowa State too. Just a little guess there. Let's see, the last job I had before I came back to the farm was working for a congressman in Washington, D.C., and thank God I came home to the farm. So I am on the Iowa. I've had a lot of leadership roles, but I am on the Iowa Soybean Board now and the United Soybean Board and the work group lead for the demand and health and nutrition. So animal health and nutrition, plant health and nutrition, things like that. So I'm also on U.S. I'm on a lot of stuff, let's just say. But I've been fortunate to travel. I'm sure we're going to get to Ukraine and Russia. But yeah, been able to travel there for United States Soybean Export Council and see farms there. Very, very interesting. And when I look at those pictures, my heart aches for those people there. So.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. And I definitely do want to get to that, but I want to keep it domestic for just a little bit. Bob, I don't know if you were hip to the behind the scenes or whatever, but Ted the Hammer actually sort of threw you to the wolves on this deal. As I understand, you've got a peer group that's meeting right now. Apparently Hammer was supposed to be giving his presentation right now, and he said, well, see if Bob can do it. I'll dismiss him from that so that he can be on AgriTalk. I appreciate you making the sacrifice. And I don't want to give away the farm, but can you talk about that peer group just a little bit? Who are these people? How did you get together? And what sorts of things do you guys talk about?
Well, we talk a little bit of everything about farming. Tyne's, Morgan's husband is here. Tyne was supposed to be here, and she got tied up with some other stuff. And her husband's come up talking about, I had to walk out on his presentation. We're like farmers, we're gabbing and running behind. But he was giving his presentation on ag retail and the looks of what ag retail will be in the coming years, what it looks like it could be, and some of the things like that. And she's done some real big digging to find out my official name. But yes, I did go to Iowa State whenever they were still having the winter farm up program. That's how old I am. So. I went up to there for the 2-year program. So,
how long have you been?
But our peer group was.
Yeah, how long have you been a part of that peer group?
4 years, I think. I think it's been going on 5. Ted was some of the original ones, and I had met Ted up at the Top Producer Seminar, and so he would thought that and become good friends with him, and they invited me to the to come and see if I thought I would be interested and see if I would fit in with the group. And so I enjoyed it, and they thought I would fit in. So I guess I have, because I'm still here. So they're still putting up with me.
Indeed. And
the peer group told me to tell her hi for him, since she's been doing some digging on me.
Well,
is a small world. We all know people, so.
Well, and that sort of goes to kind of where I was going next. Bob, I imagine that you would endorse if there's a farmer out there, be they young, be they old, experienced, inexperienced, whatever, that if they can get involved in a peer group to share ideas with and you know, just get together on a semi-regular basis, you would probably recommend that, no?
Yes, it, you know, we're spread out enough that you know, nobody's in your back, in their own backyard, you know, so we're spread out enough that we feel like we can really open up and talk about our operations and not be giving something away to the competition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's just like going up to the top producer seminar. It's all of the stuff after the meetings, you're sitting there talking and bouncing ideas off of each other and go, what will this work? Well, we've tried it at home. That don't work at home. We tweaked it a little bit and it kind of works for us this way and things like that.
Well, April, let me flip over to you. You mentioned that you are exclusively a dirt farmer these days. I'm assuming corn,
yep.
Corn and soybeans. This so year,
what we do in Iowa. Yep.
Are you doing anything differently? The inputs, and now with the markets going crazy and everything, spring is right around the corner. Are you doing anything different? Or are you going to give me one of those answers like, nah, I'll probably just stick with the rotation and do what I always do?
If I could ask this question one more time, I think
I know. But there are so many people listening this time. Yes.
Yeah, no, but from people all over the world, you know, when I do talks and things like that. And it is my stock answer. I'm from Iowa. What we do is corn. And I bought, thankfully, I have a real husband and I have a farming husband, I call him. And he's also my fertilizer and chemical guy. And he runs my combine and corn when he's not only corn, he won't do beans, when he's not working. So he said, I usually prepay my chemicals and fertilizer, my nitrogen. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, it's going to go up. I'll let you know. So in August I prepaid and I looked at the check I wrote and I go, that is double what I wrote last year. And he goes, it's going to get worse. And it
it's
has.
Gonna get
so
worse.
Thankfully, yeah. Thankfully, I got my needs and have my P and K down. But I have some clay acres, not very much, one field, and I'm still deciding corn and beans. You know.
April, coming up on a break here, I'm going to cut you short there. We'll pick it back up and find out what Bob's doing for planting season right after these words. Stick around for just a little more AgriTalk.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Davis Michelson here with you on AgriTalk, in for Chip Flory. We gotta drop this sucker into full bunny here. April Hemmes and Bob Birdsell are our guests. Bob, I gave April a chance to talk about what she's doing on her operation, but brother, you got to keep those cattle fat and happy. Corn prices just keep going up. What's your strategy here?
You got to keep them fed. You do the best you can. We're going to go a little stronger beans this time. We got, you know, we raised non-GMO beans and we got our premium doubled. So it would have been awful tempting to go all beans, but we've got I couldn't guarantee with them being non-GMO, I was afraid I couldn't guarantee variety pureness. So I had one field that I could, that was in that number that I could go back with that. So I'm going to be a little off 50-50 this time just because of that. But otherwise, we'd have been 50-50 on our corn and bean rotation.
So what is your strategy on the feed side?
On the feed side, with beef cows, you know, we just background the calves, so we don't get a lot of feed bill stuck into them. So you know, we've just been buying it on the market. Grain prices, you know, with the selling the corn off and on, that you know, it kind of evens out. So, but you know, we'll be buying grain here for another couple months. And then we won't have to buy any until summertime if we decide to, if we grass gets short and we need to creek feed. So, you know, we'll be fine on that.
Sounds like you got it all figured out, buddy. I'm happy for you. That's good. You got your system in place and it appears to be working.
Hope so. You got to keep your fingers crossed. You know, every time you think you got it figured out, something hits you upside the head, just like this Ukraine deal and other things.
Well, yes. In April. And the weather. Let's not forget about the weather. April, you've been to Ukraine. I imagine you have some thoughts on what it looks like on the ground over there. Why were you over there? What did you see? Just give us a real quick rundown.
Yep. Yeah. So I was there for the United Soybean Export Council and just looking to see what Ukraine and Russia were doing. And Ukraine's farming system is set up different than ours. But basically, you know, it's the most beautiful ground, almost as good as us, our Iowa ground, just putting that out there. Mm-hmm. But they do a great job. And then over in Russia, it was interesting because I met with some farmers and they were talking about how they have this co-op and they buy things together and sell things. Had I ever heard of that? And you forget that they, you know, were communists for so many years. I mean, they still are, but they never had the chance to do that. So that was new and exciting to them, a co-op. So just interesting farming all the way around. I was looking at the pictures the other day and then looking at those farmers, the guys I was out in the field with going, they can't leave. They're now defending their country. You know, and then the people, the women that took us around, and I thought, hopefully they got out and they all had family. So, you know, it always goes back to the people and you just hope the best for them.
Well, and there is a major concern, and I think rightly so, whether they can even get a crop in. I mean,
exactly.
With all that's going on.
Right. You think we have shortages? You know, I'm worried I'm not going to get my, you know, Roundup or all the fertilizer I need. Well, they're going to do it with bombs going off over their head. So, and when you look at how much they produce, you know, that's something where now, you know, now we're talking, are they going to release all the CRP? Are they going to, you know, lower, I read something, you know, maybe lower grain prices to go into biofuels, all the things the U.S. may do to offset no Russian oil is, it's just really that whole black swan event. It's like a whole flock of them coming at us. What's going to happen next?
Bob, it's too late for moving acres out of CRP into production to have any impact, isn't it, for this season?
I would think so, especially with the shortage of Roundup. I mean, it's just not going to work.
Exactly.
You know, and the cost of the fertilizer, you're going to, I just don't see how it can be functional.
Well, and I sort of am of the mind that farmers in this price environment are going to try and get as much crop off of every square inch of dirt that they can. April, am I off base on that?
No, you're 100% on. You know, it's just the supply chain. Will we get it? Can we get it? I just had a call from one of my seed guys. You know, are you thinking the same way? You know, so all those conversations are going on now, and you know, they really, we're trying to get things nailed down as much as we can, but that old weather, that old Mother Nature creeps in every now and then and reality strikes. But you know, hopefully we can do the best we can on each acre we have available.
Bob, a lot of talk ad nauseum about, well, if we can get it, we'll put it down. Availability has been sort of outstripped the price conversation on inputs and chem. What are you hearing in your area?
We hear what I've been hearing, that most of the stuff's available. You know, there is some going to be some limited stuff, but being all non-GMO, our stuff is not, unless everybody has to go back to it, there's fairly good availability on that stuff. Yeah.
Well, in April,
so
you mentioned that
I'm saying all right. Unless everybody that guts uses traded products can't get their traded chemicals, and then they have to go back to the old ways to do it.
Right, right. And April, sounds like you're in pretty decent shape.
I cut up my rope elevator, Bob. I cut up my rope elevator. That's not going to happen. Not going back to rope elevating court.
I was never so happy for drilled beans to come along.
Well, Bob, we're running out of time, you two. But Bob, say hello to Ted and the gang for us at the Peer Group. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, buddy. It's been far too long. Let's catch up again soon. What say?
Well, sounds good. You guys have a good day. Thanks for having me.
April, fantastic to get to know you a little bit. I'm sure we'll talk to you again in the future real soon. I look forward to it. Thank you so much for your time today.
Happy to be on, Davis.
That's April Hemmes. We also had Farmer Bob Northwest Mo on Twitter. That's Bob Birdsell himself taking some time away from Ted the Hammer's presentation this afternoon. I've got Matt Campbell from StoneX to talk about the reports and everything else that's going on everywhere here on AgriTalk. Don't miss it.